thank Thee this morning for this day, Lord, and what a blessing it is to know when you come to fellowship, people use the Bible, teach it in the Sunday school, and it thrills our heart and our soul, dear Lord. And we come here now in the service, we use the Scripture, in the other churches going on, they use the Scripture. That's our textbook. Our Father, we are so grateful to know that we believe this book, and therefore, with your help, the inspiration of the Spirit of God, we do our best to teach it in all the classes, even in the smaller classes. Dear Father, with the aids we use, yes, but it's the Word of God we desire to teach. We believe it's necessary in these days for people to understand truth, to have the Word of God preached and taught in Sunday school classes and in the pulpit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Samuel, if you will. 1 Samuel. I'm going to read verse 45 through 47, but I'm going to give an introduction before I read that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this message this morning is something that if you don't listen very careful, you're going to miss, because we have the idea and the mentality today that if a person or an individual or nation or group of people have the most arsenal, the biggest army, and the greatest influence, that they can win about anything they want to do. And most of the time, you see God's people, they look like weaklings because they have a love in the heart, which in turn keeps them from doing as far as the world will go. Many times, it looks like that when they walk away from something because they realize that they would lose their testimony if they stayed where they were at, people make fun of them, ridicule them. And yet, the powerful force we have is the Word of God. It amazes me when it's read, when it's taught in the hearing of people. Those who resist it have great problems with it. There's a great fear against the Word of God in our particular day. And I want to show you this morning. I give a title to this particular message today. Is this: faith is better than force. Faith is better than force. Now we're going to look through, and I'll give you the text in just a few minutes. If you look with me in chapter 17, you find that Israel's on one side of a mountain, the Philistines on the other side. There's a valley called Elah down in the middle. And the Bible teaches us in the first few verses, I paraphrase, that the Philistines are mocking Israel and their God. As a matter of fact, we see that they have one particular fellow called Goliath, verse 4, who is of Gath. His height was 6 cubits in a span. Now, according to Hebrew measure, that's about 9 foot, 9 inches, I think. Some say it could be as high as 11 foot in some cases. I'll tell you this, if he's 11 foot, he was a big guy. But 9 foot, 9 inches is a pretty big guy. I don't know if anyone ever remember anybody, basketball player, anybody that was over 9 foot. I don't know, so I assume he's about as big as they come. But here's this guy challenging Israel. And what he makes to them, watch, and he got a helmet upon his head, so that means his head is covered. His arms were a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. It weighed at least 156 pounds. And it's like scales. This was laid like scales on him to protect his body all over. Now, his head is protected. His body is protected. Notice also, he said that, and he had a helmet on his head, and he said in verse 6, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, so he's covered everywhere. He's got an extra protection on his shoulders. He's also got things on his legs down to his feet. And said the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. It won't like the little spear we think of. It's pretty good size. It's like a beam. Can you imagine this guy having a spear like a beam? I said, I wonder what it looked like. I'm looking out the back of the yard, and we've got a little grapevine that we planted 40 years ago, and it's produced 10 grapes, I think, in 40 years. But we got two 4x4s on each side of that thing, and I was thinking to myself, you know, that 4x4 may be about what like his spear was, looking at it in my mind. And then he goes even further, and he said, if you notice, he had a spear like a weaver's beam, had a spear head that weighed 600 shekels of iron. Now, that's about 18 to 19 pounds, according to Hebrew measurement. The head of the spear. Hey, fellas, this is a big man. Get in your head. When David looked at him, he had to look towards the moon. He couldn't see him without. He's a great God, big man. And one bearing a shield went before him. As a matter of fact, he had so much on him, he had to have the fellow who had his shield to take it for him. This is the God. Get an idea where you're at here, or where he's at, and you in mind be there. And he comes before Israel and he said, I'm a Philistine, you servants of Saul. Choose your man for you and let him come down to me. And we're going to fight in verse 9. And he says, and if he kills me, we'll surrender and serve you. But if I kill him, then you surrender and serve us, and we'll save a lot of blood, and the fight will be over with. Well, Israel's scared to death. You know the story. They're shaking their boots, hid behind the tents, discussing what to do. No one's going to go meet him. And then we pick up that David, in verse 12, comes to see visit his brothers, who are also a part of the army of Israel. And as he visits them, he sees what's happening. He's very concerned because he notices in verse 23, the Philistines of Gad, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. Now he's challenging again. He's mocking them again. And David heard them. And he gets upset. Now I don't know how old David was here, but I guarantee you, he's still not a very big man. He might just been a young person in adult, young adulthood. Who knows exactly how old he was? But I know this, he knew that God didn't like what he was hearing that's done in that battle. He knew this was a mockery to God. And he knew God's heart to some degree. And he talked to his brothers and so forth, and make a long story short to get to our verses. He said, I tell you what, I'll go down. And can you imagine the whole army of Israel sitting up there scared to death? And here comes this fellow tending sheep. In fact, he'd been tending his father's sheep and hadn't even been in any of the battles at all. He probably wouldn't even looked at to be go to war with Israel as of yet. And he said, I'll go. And they said, well, what are you against such a great man? He said, let me tell you something. He said, I was one day following, looking after my father's sheep. And he said, if you look down about verse 34, he said, a lion came up and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And he said, I went after him and delivered out of the mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard. And he said, the lion, first of all, he said, I went after him who had my father's sheep. And he said, when I got to him where he was at, he probably turned towards him. He said, I grabbed him by the mane and I killed him. He said, not only that, later I saw a bear get one of my father's sheep. And I knew that wasn't right. And I went after that bear. He turned and I by my hands killed him. Now you know good and well I can't kill a lion or a bear with my bare hands. There's got to be a greater strength there than just me. God delivered them in my hands and give me the power to do just that. And he said, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. He said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and paw of the bear, he would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said, David, that sounds pretty good. I don't know if anybody else would kill a lion and a bear. I'm speculating now. He said, I give you permission to do that. But wait a minute, you need to put on some armor. And of course, David said, hey, I can't go with this, for I haven't proved them. And David didn't put them on. As a matter of fact, it looked like he was like a hat on a stick on him. Probably he could turn around in the armor, just it was a big form, so that goes to show he was small stature. And so he took him, a staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones, verse 40, out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip that he had, in his sling, he said, and was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, here he comes down off the mountain towards Goliath, 9 foot, 9 inches tall, covered from here to here. Only place he's got it you can even see is right here in his face. And when he sees this, it insults him. Verse 43, he said, am I a dog that thou comest to me with a staff? And the Philistines cursed David by his God. He cursed David. And the Philistine said, David, come to me. And I'll give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Getting into my message now, as far as the reference is concerned, I'll read him. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. I imagine he's laughing inside, don't you? How are you going to take my head? You can't even get to any part of my body. You know, I can only see my face. And the only reason you see that, I got to see how to see you. What you going to do coming running out here? And he don't even have no war clothes on. He has no shield. He has nothing, just bare. I mean, this to Goliath was a mocker just about to him, he thought. He said, I come. He said, the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I'll smite thee. And said, take thy head from thee. And all the earth may know, the latter part of that verse, that there is a God in Israel. And all of this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hands. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near nigh to meet David, that David hastened. He's not afraid at all, is he? He didn't mumber or ease up. He hastened and he ran towards again the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, probably while he was running, and took thence a stone and slanged it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not only did it take good timing and aiming, but it took a force to put into his head. This giant, I guarantee you, an average stone just thrown by hand would bounce off of it. And there's no one at all probably could take a rock and throw it and hit him in the forehead. And certainly not anyone could take a slingshot and do it. By the way, it wasn't a bean shooter. It's a slingshot. You know the difference? We think, you know, everybody here knows what a bean shooter is. I hope you do. Johnson County, you ought to know. Amen. But this is a slingshot that he uses. And he runs and he throws that thing. It sinks into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Now, isn't it interesting? It went bloop. It wasn't enough force to knock him backwards, but it knocked his brains out, didn't it? Because he fell forward. I bet it went, whew. Hey, there ain't nothing on this thing, brother. I can't, give me this mic just a little bit. I don't want to ring. I hope to see somebody rise from the seat about that. But this is a great blessing to see God when everything looks weak, when he's in charge. And he goes on and he said, and David ran up through the sling, with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine. Went, he said, slew him, and there was no sword in his hand. David didn't have a sword. So what does he do? Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine. He's so big, he has to get up on top of him. And he gets up on top and takes his sword out, cuts his head off. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they didn't surrender, they fled. Hey, back over in verse 9, they said, hey, if you kill me, we'll surrender. Not this time, bless God. When they saw that David had the power to do that, they ran. And they pursued after him. My text comes out of verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword. That's setting forth in typology as arsenals of men. But he says, and a spear, which is the same. For the battle is the Lord's. I want to speak to you a few minutes on faith is better than force. Many times in this world, the world don't see that. Many times we're confused about it too, but it looks like the minute some people have an upper hand on you, when you have nothing but faith, prayer, and the Bible, and God. Did you understand there's a David and a Goliath contest always going on between faith and force in your own life and on my life? The secret of Goliath's strength was trained brute force. He's a 9'9" plus man. He's a warrior. He has the arsenals of his day. He has the protection of his day. And here his strength is just complete brute force. Assisted and protected by a sword in verse 51, by a spear in verse 7, by armor in verse 5, and by shield in verse 7. And he has a man to run along ahead of him to carry that with him in case he needs it to the enemy. He certainly didn't think he needed it, but David, I'm sure. But the secret of David's strength was just simply faith in God. And without that, you can't please him. You know, that says to me, you say, preacher, I believe Hebrews 6 when he says, without faith, you can't please God. And say, I believe that, and yet turn right around. And when we say, if that be the case, then you have to start exercising that faith in Jesus Christ first. Because that's where our faith gets its wheels and gets its power from. Outside of Jesus Christ, we're hopeless, doomed, and damned. We have no access to God the Father to even pray except the sinner's prayer. This world looks at it different, though. They're bound to be praying to a different God. And so here, the secret of David's strength was simple faith in God. Force is physical, mental, social, financial, and scientific conditions are constantly putting themselves against God's work and challenging God's people to combat between these two. The Davids who try to meet force with force are apt to be defeated. If David went there with force, he'd have been defeated. Because he had no ways the weapon that Goliath had. But he had a secret weapon. And that was God in prayer. And so David, who meet force with faith in God, are sure to conquer. And the Davids of our day who find themselves in these situations are sure to conquer. Let me give you three quick points on faith is better than force. Number one, faith seems to stand alone all the time. Why force rallies many to follow in men's eyes. Most people want to be with the strongest one thinking they're win. Allies, strongest. Who has the most weapons? Who has the biggest weapons? Who's able to fight the best? But not so here in this story. The Philistines were enthusiastic because of Goliath. They were in support of Goliath. Man, they liked the idea. They wouldn't have nobody to get hurt. Israel was on the other side, scared to death. Most people in the Valley of Elah on that day saw the man Goliath. Here is Philistines on one side. They know their man. Here is the Israelites on this side, and they only see Goliath. But here comes little David, and I call him that. And he sees what's going on. And when he looks down in that valley, and when he got down looking at that giant, he saw something beyond that giant. He looked above that giant, and he saw God. And he said, no way that this man, if I'm in the center of God's will, David saw the Lord. And David had few sympathizers among the Israelites until he had conquered Goliath. David had few sympathizers. And by the way, a lot of times in this life, you're going through something. Until you come out with victory, a lot of folks won't be sympathy with you whatsoever. Because they look at the larger scene, you see. David had a few. Saul had discouraged him. His brothers had seemed to take sides with Goliath. Yet David was not discouraged, except in the force that he saw, he knew what God had done for him in the past. God was as real to David as Goliath was to those soldiers. Do you know, and I think you think about this question, do you walk by sight, holding on to the flimsy handrail of sight and appearance? Or have you learned to stand firmly on the solid foundation of faith and realize Hebrews 6:11 says, without faith it's impossible to please God? And here, yes, we use the force that God allows us to use, but we don't depend on the force, because some of the greatest nations in the world went to battle and failed because God was not in it. You go to the Old Testament, look at Israel. And so faith seems to stand alone when you're exercising it, while force rallies to follow the men in men's eyes. Now, faith should control all the forces at its command. I mean, David had a slingshot. And so, if his faith controlled the force, what happened to that? Listen, if you'd seen that, you'd say, no way in the world that little fellow's going to kill that giant with that slingshot. Is he gone out of his mind? Up to the time they saw him fall. And then probably say, he's going to get up. And then when he saw David cut his head off, I don't know how he could even lift his head. Probably had to get somebody to help him lift his head up. Probably had to take the helmet off to get it out anyhow. Lift his head up.
And now, man, people did just what David said they do. Israel began to look at their God. And the Philistines saw the action of their God and fled in fear of him at that time. Goliath inspired others by his gigantic 9-foot-9-inch stature. David was skillful with a slingshot, and he used it. That's all he had. But it wasn't the slingshot that did it for him. David's already given record of fact where his strength comes from. Not only can God help him as he killed a lion and a bear, but now that slingshot would be guided by God and do what it had to do. And it amazes me how he hit him right in the forehead. And the Bible says it sunk in. I don't know how far it went. Probably cracked his skull. One thing is funny. If it did not kill him, it made him fall. He couldn't move until David got his head off. Now that got him. When David cut his head off, that got him. Amen? You'd have to agree to that. You didn't see the rest of it. David's force. Goliath inspired others by his size. No one could easily slay this giant. David's force could not be seen, though, because it was in his heart. It consisted of his attitude towards God, using the elements that he had to fight the giant that was in his life. In God, his faith mastered all the forces at his command, which looked foolish to man. In God, what he had at hand, he used, and he knew that his faith would master those forces, that force that he had. Though in the eyes of the world it looked weak, he knew that God would take what he had and develop him down through his years to use at that time. Goliath mastered his own force of faith and the faith of the people due to his sight. He was mastering the faith of the people due to his sight, how he looked and presented, and probably had fought a number of battles before and won under those circumstances. Everyone believed that Goliath would conquer due to the indication of his strength that they could see. Why? He stood above any other of the Philistines, and he stood above all of the Israelites. A giant to be afraid of, to fear. And I said, what a sad day when God's people allow the forces seem to move and measure their faith in what they do and say if they're right with God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, to encourage you, I don't care where things go in this life, we have a source of power this world knows nothing about. And God not only makes us conquerors, he makes us more than conquerors. And you prove that in the scriptures. This time, literally, they expected no results from God due to forces working against them. Napoleon said once years ago, as I was reading a story about him, and I quote him, God is on the side of the strongest battle soldiers. By the way, that's a philosophy of most men and women in this world. God, he says, is on the side of the strongest battle soldiers. Oh, no, he's not every time. Because if you looked at that, you'd look at David being blowed on and blowed over by this giant. The person who looks only at forces is no stronger than the force that they have. Yet the weak in God's hands, hear me, the weak in God's hands is as strong as God himself, if you're in his hands. What do you mean, preacher? I mean there's not one thing that God can help us be conquerors, or if we can't be conquerors in the eyes of men and women to see it, he makes us more than conquerors in his eyes. And he tells us that in the book of Romans, in this world. We see that. The Goliaths in our lives attacked us daily. They attacked us by people. They attacked us by pressure and worries and fears. They consistently yell across our personal valleys and challenge us that shakes the foundations of heaven. God is faithful to deliver us in his own time. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, God has made a tremendous promise as we read. And he says, there has no temptation taken you, trial, whatever it may be it means, but such is common to man. What's these words? 1, 2, 3, 4 words. There is no temptation that's taken you, such is common to man. But God is faithful. That's what he says. So where you're at, if you know him, you trust him by faith, keep in mind, he saved you because he's faithful to keep his word. And wherever you're at in life, he will keep you because he's still faithful to his word. He's not faithful in salvation and forget us 10 years later somewhere or another. And he goes on, he says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it? And that's more than conquerors. You may never see the conqueror in my life in this world on some things, but God sees it. And when he sees it and it's done right and done like it should be, I am more than conquerors in his sight. And he tells me that in the book of Romans. And so can you be this morning. Again, as you look at this, faith seems to stand alone. Force people rally to it. Number two, faith is always the same. Force may assume different forms. That's the reason I say faith is much better than force. For instance, you go back. David killed the bear was one kind of force. Amen? He had faith in God given, but there's a different type of force he used as he obeyed God given the strength to do it. When David killed the lion, that was a different type of force than what was needed to kill the bear. The bear acted different than the lion. In fact, I don't know what he grabbed in the bear, but he said he grabbed the mane of the lion. Now let me tell you something. When you look at the bear and the lion, they're entirely different than Goliath. Because no bear and lion could think his strategy. He just moved by instinct. Goliath had a mind. He knew he was bigger than David. He knew he could think. He had his mind. He's going to devour him. In other words, the force to use David used against Goliath is entirely different shape than the bear and the lion. But he had God in all three. He had not defeated the lion without God. He had not defeated the bear without God. So I said, well, I would. I'd had a 30-aught chicken. I'd killed him. He didn't have such a thing as that in that day. He had a slingshot. By the way, that was better than a 30-aught six. There'd been some people with a 30-aught six couldn't hit him in the forehead if they tried. Amen? I mean, we're just not that good of a hunter. Especially when somebody's coming to you like this. And here, he's literally looking at this giant staring him down. The skill in killing the lion, the skill in killing the bear, would not avail in killing Goliath. But let me tell you, his faith was the same. His faith was the same. The same faith that he killed the bear with. It's the same faith that he killed the lion with. It's the same faith that he's going to kill Goliath with. He used his hands with the lion. He used his hands with the bear. He used his hands and a slingshot with Goliath. The skill killing the lion and the bear will not avail in killing Goliath. But the same God-like faith, trusting God, was sufficient for all three. Verse 37. David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Hey, that's future. You say, I don't know if David really knew he'd get delivered or not. Yes, he did. He said, I've got experience. He's already delivered from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. That same God shall deliver me from this Philistine that's mocking God's chosen people. They're into tents as if they're scared to death under these circumstances. Some saints have very short memories, but not David. He remembered the bear. He remembered the lion, and he knew he had no power in himself to destroy such a creature. Forces that constantly change their form sometimes deceive and overcome us. Yet faith is equal to the emergency when it's in God. That's the thing I say, folks. There's probably not one of us in there that don't have an emergency of some kind. Something's going on right now in your life that's bothering you or headed to something or just come through something or in something or fed it. But there's no force in this world. And let me say it again. There's no force in this world like that can do anything with the faith that God gives us equal to the emergency when God is in it.
the faith will deliver us, sustain us in the worst kind. We talked about the disciples Wednesday night, and his wife Margarita, who they hated so bad because they stood on Christian principles. You remember he stood in the square and they tormented him, cut his tongue out, and burned him to the stake. He was giving God praise, did his wife the same way. Let me tell you something. In the eyes of the world, it looked like he lost. But he was more than conqueror, because he glorified God. And many were saved after that because of him dying. And he just got an early step into glory. Through the weakness of man, God honored this man and his wife back in the 1500s, I believe. So again, forces that constantly change their form. Deceive is overcome us at times, but faith is equal to the emergency when in God. So faith seems to stand alone, and men rally toward force. Faith is always the same. Force may assume different forms. And the last one, faith, that seems to expose us to danger. Hear this. Faith that seems to expose us to danger really protects us in the sight of God. And force that seems to protect us exposes us to danger. And we see that in these two people. Goliath and his army seem to be safe. Would you not say that? I mean, look at it. Certainly seem to be safe as far as fighting this young man called David. Yet David, with his invisible army of faith, seemed to be in the most danger. And yes, David was the one really safe, though. And Goliath was the biggest danger. In God's will, the place that seems the greatest danger is the safest place. If you're in God's will. Out of God's will, the safe place could be the greatest danger in the eyes of men. Oh, help me, Lord, get this cross, because this will help you in these days, dark days we're going through, because God is still on the throne. I don't care what happens in this world. And we got to keep focused on Him and realize, God, you give me ability, everything that I can do, I need to do it honestly, right, correctly. I need to stand where you want me to stand. I need to do what I need to do. But I want to realize when I'm doing that, then God, whatever happens in this world, I can't control it, but you can. And I'm trusting you by faith. Now, what force I can use, give me the ability to use it. If I have the mentality, give me the ability to use it, Lord, because it's in your hands. But when it goes beyond that, it's only the faith I have that you are going to do what you said you'd do and keep your word. And believe God that He can do just that. Daniel was in the den of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the fiery furnace. But preacher, someone would say, does not force sometimes prevail over faith? One may ask. Yes. We see it a lot. You see it right now. Hey, you go out here on Main Street and start preaching the Bible about homosexuality. Preaching about what God says about homosexuality and that stuff, and see how long they let you stand there and preach it. It's going to be after a while. You can't do it in the pulpit. Almost there now. And it's a Bible doctrine. That's a truth from God. And what I'm saying to you, that right now, go out there and do it, and force will take you and try you and find you guilty and put you in prison. But faith is still making us more than conquerors. Let me ask you something. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have never known what it was to have the fourth man in the fiery furnace unless they had been put in the furnace. They'd never known the fellowship that God had for them in the fiery furnace unless they went in the fiery furnace. And when they were there, all the rest saw them being defeated, and suddenly they saw the fourth man. Even the king himself was in there. There can be victory, even in the eyes of the world, but they may not see it. Have not many of God's people died before the forces of the enemy? Sure. Fox Book of Martyrs is full of it. And there's many in our day, right now, in foreign soil are dying for the cause of Christ. literally hundreds in some places. Some of these enemies go in and wipe out a whole village that turned to be Christianity in some places. And so many of God's people have died on the forces of the enemy. But the defeat is only apparent to them. Acts 7. The stones that fell upon Stephen hastened him on to glory. There can be victory in earthly defeat. That's the reason Paul gave us the wonderful words over, as the Holy Spirit did in Romans chapter 8, when he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, peril, sore? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are upon it, accounted sheep to slaughter. Nay, in all these things, watch this, I love this. I marked this in my Bible years ago. Yea, all these things. What is he talking about? He's talking about things we have no control of. Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril. He's talking about death. He's talking about life. He's talking about different things. He said, nay, in all these things, we are not just conquerors, because in the eyes of the world, we look defeated. Paul said, we are more than conquerors. Throw it at us. We are more than conquerors. Because we're trusting the one who one day will put you, enemy, where you need to be. And yet, when I say that, God offers you the same thing that he offers me. He loves you. He'll do what he did to Saul of Tarsus. An enemy assassinating Christians met on the road to Damascus. And God reversed him. Now he's not assassinating Christians. He's using the gospel to make Christians. That's what God can do. And what an amazing thing about this. The victory. When in our faithfulness to God, evil forces gain the present victory in man's eyes, we are more than conquerors in his will. John 16:33, Jesus promised us trouble in this world. He didn't say, you might have it, it's coming. I'm sorry, there's a lot of folks in the charismatic tell you today, no, you get saved, everything's going to be hunky-dory. You've been lived long enough now to know that's not so. But everything can be victorious. Be victorious. I can be as low as I can be and be just as victory in Christ. I can look sometimes like the world's going to crash in and be just as happy as can be. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen, what God can do for you and I as far as in his kingdom. And in the things that we see, he promised that he'd keep us and sustain us in the midst of trouble. May I give you an example of Jesus and now close. Jesus allowed the forces against him to conquer him in man's eyes. Let me ask you something. Do you think Jesus could not have come down off that cross? You think they could even nail him there to start with? In fact, they didn't have to force him. He laid his hands down for them to nail it. In the eyes of the world, no doubt Pilate probably went home and sleeps and I don't have to worry about him anymore. Herod probably said, I wish he did some shows for me, but didn't, but I'm glad he's gone. He caused a lot of turmoil. The soldier said, you know, a few of them said he was different, but they went to sleep. Even John, Mary probably went back to his home as he took Jesus' mother and said, well, it's just an awful thing. The scene looked like Jesus had been conquered. But praise be unto God, we see beyond the scene. He was more than conquered. He was more than that. They nailed him to the cross, but the nails didn't hold him there. Love did. You think about it. Death that struck Jesus down was destroyed by the blow of his own death. The death of Christ was the death of death. 1 Corinthians 15:26. Now, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Why now? The rest of that verses before that talks about him coming and dying. Because of the resurrection, he has conquered death, headed to grave, and also conquered it for us. Forces at work within and forces at work without shall also strike us down sooner or later. But the last enemy to be conquered is death. 1 Corinthians 15:26, by our death, we shall conquer death that Jesus has already conquered for us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? What did you say, preacher? I said, by our death, Christ has conquered death for us before we ever get there. He's already conquered it for us. So we're more than conquerors. Every Christian we walk by and see the fleshly body that was born through procreation in God's plan and purpose,
Everyone we see, if they're saved, they have more than conquered. Because the death that we face has conquered them, it seems, in the eyes. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We are more than conquerors when that happens. Only our hope for survival is to anchor ourselves to the Lord by faith. And I say to you, faith in God is much better than force. Ladies and gentlemen, please understand this. Understanding God in this scripture, I'd rather have faith in God without force than have force without faith in God. Because faith in God is better. And God will utilize what force I've got within my hands at my disposal. And He'll work through that to reach the goals that He desires, not I. God has a desire for your heart. You want to be surrendered to it, Lord, whatever it is, that's what I want. God has a desire for my heart. You want to be surrendered to it. And I guarantee you, that desire for He has for your heart may not be like the desire you have. But desire should be whatever your desire, Lord, is. Make it mine. Make it mine. Faith seems to stand alone while many rallied to force. Faith is the same. Force changes its form. Faith protects when exposed to danger. Force only seems to protect. In Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. In any situation of life, you come to me as a dog, I'll feed you to the carcass, to the birds. David says, no, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. I will feed you because He's my strength. Your force is no match to my faith in one who is the omnipotent one. He has the greatest strength of all. Give me an example in that clause. Revelation 19. When Jesus and the saints come back to this earth to set up His kingdom, it tells us that He speaks with such a force of His mouth. The word of His mouth destroys the nations. That's a bunch of hogwash. There's no such thing as that. Anyone who can speak worlds into existence by the flinging of His fingers can also destroy it by the same word. Now tell me, who's the greatest then? You pile all the arsenal in this world in one stockpile. And they're trying to do that in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. When Jesus wiped and comes through and tramples through the winepress, according to Revelation. And it's nothing compared to the word of God's mouth. I'm talking about someone, ladies and gentlemen, with faith in. We're more than conquerors. If you don't know this person, I trust you're trusting today. Receive Him. Know what it is to be a child of God. Trust Him. Believe on His Son's name. Receive Him as your Savior. And then when you face things, it'll look like it's going to just go all to pieces. And you have to come before God and sometimes cry and say, Lord, how in the world this going to, how can we handle this thing? And God will come to you and say, son, first you wait, you pray, you say, in my will, you do the things that you have to do that I've called you to do. I want you to know your strength of faith will help you use the forces that are available. And you'll come out more than conquerors. And ladies and gentlemen, so will you. Father in heaven, I want to thank You for the Word of God. I want to thank You, Lord, for what I see here in David's life. Lord, this is an amazing thing about David. Out of the nations of Israel and the Philistines who were on the mountainside bragging and Israel scared to death. And David come from his herd of sheep to visit his sons. And maybe the army didn't have enough to eat. He took them something. And he gets there and he sees this giant blaspheming God, defiling His name. And the Holy Ghost began to burn inside his soul. He said, this shouldn't be. God brought remembrance about that bear and about that lion. He said, this Philistine defiled the God of Israel. I'll fight him. I'll take him on. Because it's not my battle, it's God's battle. God is the force behind the forces of men.
My faith in Him, don't think I have. Trust Him. And allow Him to use the arsenals that He's given me. And He'll make those little things that man laugh at and mock become the tired in our hand, the weapon in our hand to have the victory. And even sometimes it may be just standing nailed to a cross or still to put in on a stake by fire, and people look at someone die for the cause of Christ, burn them to the stake like they did many years ago. And they sing songs of Zion. And that's God to bless the people. Even as Jesus said, forgive them. Even as Stephen said. God says, in that dying hour, I've conquered death for you. You will conquer it too. In the eyes of men, you look like a failure. But in the eyes of God, you're more than conquerors, my child. God, put that comfort in your people's heart. It'll make them want to serve you more, want to be more faithful, and do the things that God would have us to do. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.